So imagine a massive global bank, right? And they fire a rogue trader.
Oh, wow. Okay. High stakes right out of the gate.
Right. So the IT department, they act instantly. They delete his primary Active Directory account in seconds. Like his corporate email is gone, his Slack is totally
That's their
deactivated.
protocol, yeah.
Exactly. But because of this tangled web of legacy software, he actually still has backdoor access to this massive, highly sensitive financial database, and he keeps it for another 3 weeks.
Which is an absolute nightmare scenario for any security team.
It really is. And today, that is exactly what we are looking at. We're looking at the multi-billion-dollar technology designed to stop that exact nightmare. Welcome to your personalized deep dive.
Glad to be here.
We are unpacking this really comprehensive source guide today, focused on SailPoint, the broader field of identity governance, and honestly, this massive kind of hidden career boom happening inside this space right now.
Yeah, and it's a critical area of cybersecurity that, frankly, most people outside of enterprise IT rarely think about,
Yeah.
until something goes disastrously wrong.
Right.
We are talking about the invisible infrastructure that prevents these huge digital transformations from just spiraling into total chaos. Because, organizations are migrating to the cloud, they're acquiring companies, adopting thousands of SaaS applications.
Yeah, the scale is just crazy.
Exactly. And the sheer volume of access rights has just become way too complex for human beings to manage manually.
Okay, let's unpack this because to understand the specific problem SailPoint solves, we first have to differentiate between two acronyms that they get thrown around interchangeably a lot, but they are fundamentally different. I mean, IAM and IGA.
Right, identity and access management versus identity governance and administration, which, to be fair, is where a lot of the confusion in the industry actually starts.
So if we use a quick analogy, right? IAM is like the bouncer at the club. They check your ID, they make sure you're on the list, and they let you in the front door.
Exactly. That's your single sign-on, your Okta, your multi-factor authentication.
Yeah, but IGA, which is what SailPoint does, is more like the internal VIP manager. It's the system tracking exactly which back rooms your specific key card opens, whether you're allowed to be in the vault, and crucially, making sure your wristband is cut off the literal second your membership expires.
I love that analogy. It's a great shorthand. But if we look at the actual enterprise reality, it's far messier than a nightclub.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so the source material uses this example of a global bank with 50,000 employees.
50,000, okay.
Right. And those employees are accessing upwards of 800 different applications.
Wait, 800. That's insane.
It is. We're talking about millions of individual points of access. So the core problem IGA solves is managing the entire life cycle of those identities.
And when you say life cycle, you mean like the joiner, mover, lever process.
Precisely. Someone gets hired, they change departments, they eventually leave. It's a constant flow.
Right, yeah.
And without centralized governance. Let's say an employee moves from marketing to finance. They often keep their old marketing permissions because, well, no one bothered to revoke them.
So they just accumulate access like a snowball.
Exactly. Or, going back to your opening scenario, they leave the company entirely, but their access to some random unlinked cloud application remains active. And those are what the industry calls orphaned accounts.
Orphaned accounts,
Yeah.
because the user is technically gone, but the digital identity is just, I don't know, sitting there in the dark waiting to be compromised.
Yeah, and an orphaned account is a massive silent entry point for a data breach. Hackers absolutely love orphaned accounts because nobody's actively monitoring them. So SailPoint exists to replace that manual, ticket-based IT nightmare with a fully automated, auditable process.
Okay, so I understand the business problem, but I want to get into the actual mechanics here. How does a single platform actually see into 800 completely different applications? Because, I mean, a 30-year-old IBM mainframe does not speak the same language as a brand new instance of Salesforce.
No, it certainly doesn't.
So how does SailPoint physically gather all this data?
It does it through a very specific engine. The guide outlines this five-step core loop. It's connect, aggregate, govern, act, and audit.
Connect, aggregate, govern, act, audit. Okay.
Right. So the first two steps answer your question. Connect is very literal. SailPoint uses hundreds of out-of-the-box connectors or, custom-built APIs to plug directly into everything. Active Directory, HR systems like Workday, Flat Files, you name it.
So it's basically throwing this massive net over the entire IT infrastructure.
Essentially, yes. But catching the data is really only half the battle. The second step, aggregate, is where the heavy lifting actually happens.
What do you mean?
Well, it pulls all that raw, disparate data, which is usually just a complete mess, and it correlates it. So it matches the J. Smith in the mainframe to the John Smith in Salesforce and the J. Smith in the HR database.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it builds a single unified 360-degree profile of every identity and every permission they hold. It creates what's called a centralized identity cube.
A centralized identity cube. That makes sense. But that brings us to the third step, right? Govern. Because if you have 50,000 of these correlated identity cubes, how do you actually write the rules for them without, you know, doing it manually by hand?
You rely heavily on role-based access control, or RBAC.
RBAC, right.
Instead of assigning 50 separate permissions to one individual person, the governance framework bundles all those entitlements into a role. So a user is just assigned the role of, say, senior financial analyst.
Got it.
And the system inherently knows exactly which 32 application permissions belong to that specific role.
Wait, let me challenge that for a second, though. Automation sounds great in theory, but if SailPoint automatically grants access based on an HR title, what happens when an HR rep makes a typo?
The human element.
Right. Like, say they accidentally change an intern's title to CFO in Workday. Does SailPoint just blindly automate that mistake and hand some 20-year-old intern the keys to the corporate treasury? Doesn't automation just scale human error faster?
That is a phenomenal question. And it's exactly why the govern step sits in front of the act step.
Oh, okay.
SailPoint doesn't just blindly execute. You configure governance policies and approval workflows. For highly sensitive access, like treasury systems, the system is designed to trigger a mandatory manual review.
So it stops.
Right. It routes an approval request to the data owner or the department manager before it ever actually provisions the access.
Okay, so there is a human circuit breaker built into the automation.
There has to be.
Right.
And furthermore, the govern phase is where you enforce separation of duties, or FOD policies.
Separation of duties.
Yeah, and that's to prevent what the industry calls toxic combinations.
Toxic combinations. I like that phrase. Walk me through how that actually works in the software.
Think of it as fraud prevention right at the code level. So in any financial system, you cannot have the permission to write a vendor check and the permission to approve that exact same check.
Because if you have both, you can just embezzle money endlessly.
Exactly. It's a massive conflict of interest. So SailPoint's SOD engine constantly scans all that correlated identity data. And if it detects that a user holds both of those conflicting entitlements, it flags it as a toxic combination.
And then what?
It automatically triggers a remediation process. Usually that means stripping away one of the permissions and instantly alerting an auditor.
Which perfectly leads right into the final two steps, act and audit. The system executes the changes and then, I assume, logs every single decision.
The logging is absolutely paramount. Because when regulators from SOX or IPAE show up for an audit, you can't just tell them, hey, our data is secure.
Right, they want receipts.
Exactly. You have to prove it with an immutable audit trail showing exactly who had access to what, when they had it, and who approved it. SailPoint automates all those massive compliance reports.
Okay, so reading through the source material, I noticed this pretty significant split in how this technology is actually deployed out in the real world. You don't just like go to a website and click download SailPoint. There are two distinct flagship platforms here, Identity IQ and Identity Security Cloud.
Yes.
Why the split? And how do companies even choose between them?
It really comes down to architectural philosophy and how much control a company absolutely requires over its own environment. So SailPoint Identity IQ, or IIQ, is the heavy-duty on-premises solution.
Okay, the big one.
Right. It's built on a Java architecture, and it utilizes a scripting language called Bean Shell.
Bean Shell. Why use a scripting language instead of just writing pure Java or, you know, using a standard user interface?
Because Bean Shell allows developers to inject highly customized, incredibly complex logic directly into the XML configuration files.
Yeah.
And they can do it without having to recompile the entire Java application every time.
Oh, I see. That saves a ton of time.
It makes IIQ incredibly flexible. So if a massive, heavily regulated entity, say the Department of Defense or a Tier 1 global bank, has this hyper-specific legacy workflow that just doesn't fit into a standard box, IIQ allows their engineers to custom code a solution.
Got it. So they fully own the infrastructure, they control when the updates happen, and they can basically twist the software to fit their exact internal processes.
Precisely. But as I'm sure you can guess, that level of customization requires a massive internal team to maintain.
Yeah, that sounds expensive. Which brings us to the second flavor.
Exactly. SailPoint Identity Security Cloud, or ISC, which actually used to be called Identity Now, is their modern SaaS offering. It's built on their Atlas platform.
So it's fully cloud-based.
Yes. And because it's a cloud service, organizations aren't managing servers or, you know, worrying about manual version upgrades. It scales elastically, and it just pushes continuous automatic updates.
So why wouldn't everyone just use the cloud version then? I mean, it sounds vastly simpler.
And for many modern cloud-first companies, it absolutely is the better choice. It even incorporates these AI-driven recommendations to help managers decide if they should approve or deny an access request based on, like, peer group analysis.
Oh, that's smart.
But because it is a multi-tenant SaaS platform, it is necessarily less customizable than IAQ.
Right.
You basically have to adapt your business processes to fit the software's framework, rather than custom coding the software to fit you.
Right.
Plus, some nations in certain industries have very strict data sovereignty laws that literally prohibit hosting identity data in a public cloud.
That makes total sense. It's the classic build versus buy trade-off, but just applied to enterprise governance.
Exactly.
But if an enterprise is investing this heavily in a dedicated governance engine, does that mean they just strip out the rest of their security stack? Because a lot of people listening are probably working at companies that are deeply embedded in Microsoft, or, you know, companies paying millions for Okta. Isn't bringing in SailPoint just creating a bunch of redundancy?
That is a very common assumption, actually. But it fundamentally misunderstands the enterprise architecture. What's fascinating here is that it's not a zero-sum game at all.
How so? Give me an example, like with Okta.
Okay, so Okta is world-class at access management. It secures the actual login experience. It's the lock on the front door.
The bouncer.
Right. But Okta doesn't inherently know why a user should have a key in the first place, or when they should lose it based on, say, an HR shift. SailPoint governs that lifecycle.
I see.
So SailPoint tells Okta, hey, create an account for this new hire, and give them the key to these three specific apps. And then when the employee leaves, SailPoint tells Okta, destroy the key. They integrate seamlessly.
Okay, what about Microsoft then? Because everyone uses Entra ID now.
Microsoft Entra ID is fantastic if your entire ecosystem is strictly Microsoft. But almost no large enterprise is homogenous anymore.
True.
A Fortune 500 company might use Azure, sure. But they also have AWS workloads, Google Workspace, legacy Oracle databases, maybe some proprietary mainframe apps.
Yeah, it's a mix.
Exactly. And Entra struggles to govern those complex non-Microsoft legacy systems with the same granularity. SailPoint is vendor agnostic. It sits above the fray and governs the entire heterogeneous mess. And that includes governing Entra itself.
Wow. And what about privilege access? Because the guide mentions CyberArk pretty prominently.
CyberArk specializes in privilege access management, or PAM. They protect the highly sensitive administrative keys to the kingdom.
Like root access to a core server.
Exactly. So SailPoint integrates with CyberArk to govern who is actually allowed to use those privileged accounts, while SailPoint continues to manage the broader everyday workforce governance.
Makes sense. And I also noticed Savin mentioned as a competitor.
Savin's a very strong cloud-native challenger in the IGA space. But the source text contrasts them by really highlighting SailPoint's position as the long-established market leader. SailPoint just simply has a longer track record of deep customization and, frankly, proven scalability for the world's most massive enterprises.
All right, so we've thoroughly established the how and the why of the technology. But I want to shift gears to what this actually means for the market and, crucially, for the listener's career trajectory. Because the numbers in the source material indicate an absolute explosion in demand.
The financial trajectory of the IGA market is, frankly, quite staggering right now.
It's rocketing. The source values the identity governance and administration market at $7.95 billion in 2024, and it's projecting it to hit $27.11 billion by 2033.
That's massive growth.
Right. We are talking about a 14.9% compound annual growth rate. And you see the institutional validation everywhere, too. SailPoint itself, after a period of being taken private by Thoma Bravo, they relisted on the NASDAQ under the ticker Sail in early 2025.
And that huge influx of capital isn't just for software licensing. It reflects the massive human capital required to integrate and actually maintain these systems.
Yeah, somebody has to run it.
Exactly. Connecting a 30-year-old mainframe to a modern governance platform requires highly specialized engineering. And right now, there is a severe bottleneck in talent.
Which is driving this global career boom. The guide specifically isolates India as the absolute epicenter for identity security delivery. Why India?
It's about scale and existing infrastructure. Mm. Major global system integrators, companies like TCS, Infosys, Wipro, right alongside multinational banks and the big four consulting firms.
Right.
They've established these massive centers of excellence for identity security in cities like Hyderabad, Bengaluru, Pune, and Chennai.
Wow.
They are actively transitioning away from traditional generic IT services into this highly specialized, high-margin cybersecurity consulting.
And because the talent pool of experienced SailPoint engineers is so much smaller than the enterprise demand, the compensation is just accelerating rapidly. The guide actually breaks down a very clear career roadmap.
Yeah, the progression typically moves from developer to engineer to administrator and eventually up to architect.
Let's talk real numbers based on the source, because this is wild. Even freshers, meaning candidates with 0 to 2 years of experience, they are commanding 4 to 7 lakh per annum.
Which is a great starting point.
Exactly. Mid-level engineers hit 8 to 15 lakh. Seniors are pulling 16 to 28 lakh. And when you reach that architect level, the people designing the overarching governance strategy across, 800 apps, salaries easily range from 30 to 50 plus lakh a year.
It is an incredibly lucrative path, and it's largely insulated from typical tech layoffs.
Yeah.
Because identity governance is no longer just a discretionary IT spend.
It's mandatory.
It's a strict regulatory requirement. You literally cannot pass a compliance audit without it.
But here's a really critical question for anyone listening who might actually want a piece of that market. When we talked about Identity IQ earlier, you mentioned Java and Beanshell.
Yes.
I know that heavy programming scares a lot of people away from cybersecurity. Do I need to be a hardcore Java wizard to break into this field?
The source material addresses this directly, and the answer is absolutely not.
Okay. Then, what is the actual day-to-day technical reality? Like, what skills do you actually need?
Well, if you're aiming for advanced customizations in the on-premise Identity IQ, then yes, Java and Beanshell are necessary. But the vast majority of the work, especially with this huge shift toward identity security cloud, is about integration and policy configuration. It's not about writing core software from scratch.
Okay, so where does someone start?
A beginner should focus entirely on identity fundamentals.
Yeah.
You need to deeply understand how RBAC works, how that joiner, mover, lever lifecycle functions, and the overall logic of governance.
So it's way more about systems thinking and business logic.
Precisely. On the technical side, you just need to know basic SQL to understand how databases structure information. You need to be comfortable reading and writing XML because that's how the configurations are often formatted.
Right.
And you must understand REST APIs because APIs are exactly how SailPoint communicates with modern cloud applications. You are mapping data and writing the rules of access. You aren't building a new operating system.
And the guide heavily emphasizes certifications as the primary way to prove you actually have those skills.
In the IGA industry, certification is not just a nice to have. It acts as a hard filter for recruiters.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Pursuing official SailPoint tracks like the associate professional or architect certifications, it proves to an employer that you understand the underlying philosophy of governance and you can actually navigate the specific platform. It drastically accelerates the hiring process.
Okay, so synthesizing all of this, SailPoint is essentially the digital nervous system of enterprise security. Wow. It steps into these environments where thousands of humans are interacting with hundreds of disjointed systems, and it just enforces order. It replaces manual guesswork with automated, auditable certainty.
Exactly.
And because regulatory frameworks like GDPR and SOX are only getting stricter, mastering this specific technology has created one of the most resilient, high-paying career paths in the modern tech landscape.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, as long as organizations continue to hire people and adopt new technology, the sheer complexity of managing who has access to what will only compound, the need for governance is permanent.
It is permanent, but the nature of it might be shifting in a way that I find absolutely fascinating. There's a specific detail from the text I want to leave you with, something for you to mull over.
Oh, what caught your eye?
So early in the guide, when it's defining what an identity actually is, it notes that SailPoint manages access for employees, for contractors, and increasingly for machine and AI identities.
Oh, the unhuman actors.
Exactly. We have spent this entire deep dive talking about the joiner, mover, lever life cycle of human beings. We've talked about HR topos, rogue traders, and managerial approvals.
Right.
But what happens to identity governance in the very near future when the entities requesting access, aggregating the data, and executing the financial models aren't human beings at all?
That's a huge question.
What happens when autonomous AI agents are spinning up, requesting permissions across hundreds of databases, executing tasks, and spinning down millions of times a second? How do you govern a workforce of machines that operate at a speed no human auditor could ever even comprehend? Who governs the machines?
That really is the frontier. When the identities are algorithms, the governance engine is going to have to evolve dramatically.
Something to keep in mind as the enterprise landscape shifts. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Catch you next time.